really hold for us as, you know, each day, each week, each month, each year, it seems to continually get quicker, getting rounder. So what does the future really hold for us? 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us. Just a quick note about it. Peter said it's the end of the world as we know it. You see, in the spectrum of the world of faiths in the Bible, it gives a unique appreciation of the future. The passage of time is meaningful, it's directive, and we're going somewhere. The Christian message isn't just about having Jesus in your heart, or even just a message about going to heaven when you die. It is a message about a new heaven and a new earth, which in one shattering future event will replace this old corrupt world of ours. So turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 9. May we hear the word of the Lord. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that we may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and say, where is this promise of this coming, of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Verse 6, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This ends the reading of God's holy word. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard your scripture this morning as it comes to us from the 2 Peter chapter 3. And we hear about new beginning. We hear about new Christ. Father, may we open our hearts and our minds that we may hear and receive your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 3 points I would like to make about this scripture this morning. First, the relationship between God and history. Peter refers to Noah's flood. God does act in history. He is not someone who sat on the whole show, that he set it up in motion and then walked away from it just to retire. That's not our God. God is passionately concerned about this world. He's passionately concerned about all of us that are in it. Yes, he meets us daily with blessings, causing the sun to shine on the just and the unjust alike. But he will also meet us in judicial discipline, as he did then. If we ignore our Creator and instead live selfish lives like we are all prone to do at times, God will hand us over to the logistical consequences of our two worlds, heaven and hell. We will be judged accordingly. Say goodbye to God and you can say goodbye to social stability. If God is working in history, then it makes sense that he will guide it to one grand conclusion with one final and climactic scene before the curtain comes down. Will he come again? I had a woman ask me this morning, not this morning, this week, "Preacher, do you think that the Lord is coming back?" And I'll tell you the same thing that I told this lady. You can bet your life on it, because that's exactly what you will do. If you live your life according to the Scriptures, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you will be greatly, greatly appreciative to see Jesus Christ. However, if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you, again, you will be greatly, greatly appreciative of what the devil will do for you. Maybe you won't be appreciated, but you can live your life according to which way you want to go. Secondly, the relationship between God and time. Verse 8. "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day." Time can only be measured in an arena where change can take place. Our bodies grow old. Our cars wear out. our houses need work on them. But what if we lived in eternity? You know, Scripture says that God went before us into heaven and made us mansions of God. Don't that sound great? Do you think there's ever going to be repairs to those houses? Do you think that the people that are, the angels that are singing in the heavenly choir will need, well, they might need a Wayne up there directing them and telling them what to sing and how to sing, and that might be fun for him. Such a beginning. We see everything within one moment. The end from the beginning. Nothing would take him by surprise. God is not thwarted by anything we might do. God is supreme. He knows what we're going to do. He knows our choices. We each have a choice, as I said in last week's sermon. We have a choice how to live our lives. God's not some great puppet standing up there with strings attached to you. He's the great God that knows everything, everyone, and all of our consequences. So whether it is 5 seconds or 5 millennia, from the standpoint of God's plans, it's all the same to Him. He's not going to be rushed into sending His Son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth to set up the new Jerusalem. It will come at His time and His time alone. Does 2,000 years seem like a long time to you? It's a mere blink in the eye of eternity to God, as far as He is concerned. But you can look back 2,000 years, there's a lot has happened, hasn't it? Christ was born. He performed so many miracles. He taught in parables. He cleaned out a temple one time with a whip. He was crucified, dead, and buried. But the best part of that, He was resurrected. So don't be fooled into the falsely thinking that because Jesus has not yet returned, that He will never return. Or it won't be in my lifetime. That's a dangerous precedence. As Peter remarks in verse 10, the day will come that like a thief in the night. God expects us to be ready to meet Him at any time. And the third point I'd like to make about this, God's relationship with us in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you ever thought about why God hadn't already come back, send his son Jesus Christ back to earth? Have you ever thought about why it's taking so long? Maybe it's just, this is just Clayton talking. Maybe it's because he's waiting for certain people or groups of people or an individual to change. Maybe he's waiting and saying, you know, I want one more person. I want 10 more people. I want 1,000, 100,000. More people. How do I know that God passionately loves you and doesn't want you to perish? Maybe you have offended God by the sins you have committed or I have committed. Your conscience tells you that. How do I know some 2,000 years ago the God of history came down into history as a baby? The God who is so passionately committed to us became one of us, going to a lonely cross and taking upon himself the judgment which is rightly yours and mine. So he, the judge, was judged in our place. He took the punishment which was yours and mine as well, and then was raised from the dead, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he will be the judge of us all. He now reigns in the glory of heaven and is going to come back one day to claim the world and his people for his own. And that day, the new Jerusalem will be set in place. Are you ready? Do you long for meaning and direction in your life? Do you desperately desire to get back in touch with God, the one who made you? The one who loves you more than anybody else. The one who is so patient with you. Well, you can. You can get back in touch with Jesus Christ. And the way to do that is to come to Jesus Christ, turning away from sin, accepting Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. So what does the future really hold? God knows, but it's your choice. You can turn and go to Christ. Live your life more Christ-like. Or you could say, the heck with it. I like my life the way it is. answer to anybody. Again, that sure is a dangerous thought. It's a dangerous way to live your life. Verse 2 of chapter 3, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and the Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. That's people who will mock Jesus, one who will mock Christians and their way of life. And these people walk after their own lusts. May we all turn towards the Son, Jesus Christ, give our lives to Him, and let us walk with Him forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that as we come to You this morning, we're so thankful for Your holy and inspired Word. We're thankful for the love You have for each one of us. And we pray Your blessings upon each and every one of us. Father, continue to bless us. And may our light so shine that people can see You through us. That will be a great day for You, and also a great day for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.